Please stay tuned, and at the end of the program, we'll let you know where to send your questions for Dave and Tom to respond to in a future Contending for the Faith. You are listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Now we turn to our final segment, Understanding the Scriptures, and we continue our exploration of the doctrine of salvation. Here again are Dave and Tom.
We're continuing with the Gospel. We're going through the Gospel of John. We're just about the chapter 15. We've got a couple of verses to cover. But Dave, I don't think in the last few programs we've encouraged people as to reading God's Word, to getting into God's Word. And for those who have not read the Bible before, some might say, well, it's a big book. It's pretty thick. Where should I begin? And our encouragement is to begin with the Gospel of John. Why, Dave?
It probably presents the gospel more clearly than anywhere else. Presents who Christ is, his deity, and some very intimate statements from Christ to his own. But you know, if you're a Christian, Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And Jesus, remember, in the temptation in the wilderness, said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God shall man live. And Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And David said he found the word sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Mm-hmm. So if you're a Christian and you don't have a hunger, a desire and a taste for the Word of God, there's something wrong. You better examine your heart as to whether you really belong to the Lord. This is the greatest book. I mean, this is God's Word. But some people say, well, begin right at Genesis. That's kind of tough. You can get into some difficult passages. Begin at John's Gospel. Then I would say go to Acts and Romans. And then you can go back and start in Genesis and read the Bible through.
And the Bible really explains, it defines itself.
Mm-hmm.
So where there are passages that are a bit difficult to understand, thorough reading of God's Word, as you said, Dave, from Genesis to Revelation, over a period of time. But mainly, read it.
Yeah.
Get it into your heart and mind. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with. He's given us his word by inspiration, and he illuminates. He gives us understanding, but it's rarely out of a vacuum. Okay, you need the content of God's word to begin to understand it.
And don't get bogged down. You come to a place that you don't understand, okay, just keep reading. Move on. You really need to know the Old Testament to understand the New, because this is one book.
Mm-hmm. Salvation, understanding Genesis, the first three chapters of Genesis, absolutely critical. Knowing why we are sinners, what happened historically, and I mean historically, that's really important. But now we're in chapter 14 of John, and I'll pick up with verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me.
Well, that's an interesting verse, and it really relates to what we were just talking about, of separation from the world. What fellowship has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial or Belial? And Jesus says, the prince of this world. Now, of course, we know who the prince of this world is. Satan himself.
Now, how would somebody just listening for the first time and says, I don't see that there. How does he come up with the idea that the prince of this world is Satan?
Well, who does the world love? When we get on to John 17, Christ will say to the Father, his prayer to the Father, I pray not for the world, but for those that thou hast given me out of the world. We get into the next chapter 15. He'll say, if you were of the world will love its own. Because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So that's the world that he's talking about. And who does the world love? Who is the one they admire? not God, not Jesus, but unfortunately Satan himself. And you said go back to Genesis, and we find back there that it was Satan who deceived Eve, who led the whole world astray. And 2 John chapter 5, what is it, verse 20 or somewhere around there, John writes, the whole world lies in the wicked one. Mm-hmm. And we sing a song in Sunday school, some people do, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands, you know. Well, they're thinking that it's Jesus, but in fact, Satan has this world in his hands. And if you go to Revelation chapter 12, it talks about the red dragon. It says the dragon is that old serpent, the devil, who deceives the whole world. Mm-hmm. So the world is really in the hands of Satan. The world has decided to follow Satan, following after Eve, who believed Satan. Mm-hmm. And Christ is despised and rejected of the world. And those who really love him and know him will be despised and rejected as well. He says the servant isn't greater than his Lord. If they persecute and hated me, what do you think they will do to you? Mm-hmm. But Jesus is saying, the prince of this world hath nothing in me. There is nothing in me that he can attach to. There's nothing in me that Satan can appeal to. This world has no appeal for me. And sometimes you get into a bit of a controversy in the church among Christians. Well, was Jesus really tempted? It says he was tempted in all points like we are, but without sin. But the word there isn't tempted, as though he longed for it, mm-hmm. and he had to grit his teeth and dig in his heels and somehow overcome this. Mm-hmm. No.
In terms of being attracted to it. Not at all.
He was not attracted to it. The prince of this world has nothing in me. But he was tested. In other words, the opportunity to do it was laid out before him. And so I'm not going to be saying much to you because he's already told him he's going away. He's about to exit this world. And the prince of this world comes, well, what's he going to do? Well, we already heard in chapter 13, Satan entered into Judas Iscariot and used him to betray Christ. And the prince of this world is going to try to defeat Christ on the cross. In fact, he will be defeated. And so Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, if the princes of this world, that is the followers of Satan, if they had known, they would not have crucified. They wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. And there again we see the confusion on the part of Satan. In Matthew 16, he's speaking through Peter. Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. He's speaking through Peter, saying, oh, Lord, don't go to the cross. You're not going to go to the cross. You're going to be okay. You're not going to get crucified. So in that instance, Satan is trying to prevent Jesus from going to the cross. Then he inspires Judas to get him on the cross. The guy is confused, okay? Mm-hmm.
But this comes from self-delusion. I mean, he's completely enamored with himself. And what can come out of that except just grand delusion?
Self-deluded egomaniac, and that's what's in the world, the pride that is in the world. Well, anyway, that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Jesus says, I'm going to continue to in obedience to my Father. This is why I came into this world. For this cause came I into this world. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He came to pay the penalty for our sins. And so these are his final words. You don't get that in any other gospel but John. Mm-hmm. John 13, 14, 15, 16, Christ's final words of intimacy to his inner circle of 12 disciples. Well, of course, Judas is gone now. He's talking to the 11.
Dave, last week we talked about the verse 28, about Jesus saying, for my Father is greater than I. I think verse 31 gives an example of Jesus in submission to the Father mm-hmm. as a man, but in terms of the order of, mm-hmm. you know, the Godhead.
Mm-hmm. How this works out in the Godhead. As the Father gave me commandment, mm-hmm. even so I do. We don't read that the Son commands the Father, and yet they are one and the same, and they are co-equal and co-eternal. So, these are his words to the disciples, and these would be the last words that he speaks in the upper room where they had the Last Supper.
Mm-hmm. David, I love, arise, let us go hence. Mm-hmm. We should be telling ourselves more than that. Yeah, God has given us something to do. Let's mm-hmm. not draw back. Mm-hmm. Let's go forward in mm-hmm. obedience, in submission mm-hmm. to the Father.
Mm-hmm. So they're leaving the upper room where they had the Last Supper, and they're moving out to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Judas knows they will be, and that's where he is going to bring the soldiers to take him. And he says, the prince of this world cometh. And when we get out there, Jesus will at one point say to his disciples, okay, sleep on. The one who betrays me is near at hand. He's just about yeah. here.
But he says sleep on because they couldn't live up to this going forth, this hence to do, to carry out God's will. They couldn't, but certainly Jesus did.
Peter said, they'll all forsake you, not I. But they all forsook him and fled. This is a time of crisis. It's an amazing insight that we get. Powerful.
Make plans to join us again next week as Dave and Tom resume their discussion on the topic of salvation. This is Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. And now, to tell you more about our ministry, here's TBC Executive Director Tom McMahon.
The name the Berean Call is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 10 and 11, where we find the Apostle Paul entering the synagogue in the Greek city of Berea after he had just come from Thessalonica. To these Bereans, he preached that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah sent from God. They were commended for being noble or fair-minded, not only for their willingness to hear what Paul had to say about the matter, but more specifically because they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether or not what the apostle was saying was found in God's Word. That's what we hope to encourage through this ministry. Hopefully, we can help mobilize believers in Christ to action in obedience to the scriptural command to earnestly contend for the faith found in Jude 3. Gary?
If you are a serious student of God's Word, we offer many items that you will find helpful, from books and tracts to audio and videotapes, CD-ROM, our internet website, and much more. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 3703. And be sure to mention the call letters of this station. Next week, we continue with our series of discussions based on Dave Hunt's book, A Cup of Trembling, and Is Jerusalem a City Given to Destruction? In Religion in the News, Vatican Sex Crimes Cover-Up. We'll take a look at that story and examine the question, when we get to heaven, will we remember this life? We hope you can join us. If you have questions or comments about this program, we urge you to contact our offices. Search the Scriptures Daily radio ministry is made possible by God's grace, your prayers, and your financial support. I'm Gary Carmichael, and for Dave, Tom, and everyone here at the Berean Call, I would like to thank you for tuning in and invite you to join us again next week. Until then, if you desire to know God's truth, search the Scriptures daily.
For more information about the Berean Call and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org.